Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Welcome back to the show and my discussion about cats and tigers and how to live more comfortably with your cat by understanding the wild tiger within your pussycat. The resource that I've been using for this show today is a book called The Tiger on Your Couch, What the Big Cats Can Teach You About Living in Harmony with Your House Cat by the authors Bill Fleming and Judy Peterson Fleming. We are talking about that you can train your cat not to bite and to keep its claws in. And we just covered how to teach your cat the word no. And you can make sure you listen to that if you missed that. But let's now talk about how to train your cat to keep its claws in. So, you know, most of the time a cat's claws are in, and that's called sheathed, and they use them to pull or grab something that is exciting them, a toy or a small prey. What must not be exciting is any human body part. If they claw you, it's because they are out of control. They are excited and just reacting in the way that is totally natural for them. You know, those, as I mentioned before, those claws are very, very important tools for that wild predator to use as it's hunting. It's how they bring down their prey. So to stop this clawing, you've got to make your cat think about its claws and controlling them even when they are in an excited state. The same technique used by the Flemings with the tigers will work for you. You've got to teach that the claws should never be out in your presence. Now, tigers and kitten cubs become excited at anything that moves. They like to bat it around, and then they become even more excited. So the cats come out to pull in the object and roll it around. We look at this when they're kittens, and we think it looks so cute, and we don't even take offense because, you know, when we get scratched, it's from a young kitten. But you see, this sets the pattern, and your kitten will grow into adulthood with bigger and more efficient claws. Now, this method I'm going to talk about, of course, will work with adults, even, you know, as they would with kittens. It's going to just take you more time. But don't think that because your cat is an adult, this won't work. So the first time your kitten or cat extends the claws and makes contacts with you during play is the time to begin the training. It is up to you to control the claws from this first moment on. Here's what you do. When the claws come out, you look your cats in the eyes and say no. If claws don't go in, tap the paw and say no again. Cats and tigers don't like their paws touched and will almost always pull their claws in when the paws are tapped. If the cat is being stubborn, then lightly pinch his toe while repeating no. Once you start doing this, you must be consistent. You are the mother figure, remember? The kitten is looking to you for guidance. Discipline is up to you every time you see the claws come out. The mother tiger disciplines her young cubs. So it's totally natural for you to be disciplining your cat. If your cat scratches and runs, don't bother chasing them. It won't do any good. You know, they forget more with every foot they run. Wait until next time. And also, training about claws is best done during the calmer moments of play, when the cat is still in control. If you're in the middle of a high-energy play session and it happens by accident, it's not a good time. So let's talk about the biggest complaint often that people have. Well, that's all fine and good about, you know, the cat not scratching you. What do you do when it scratches the furniture? The Flemings actually are animal behaviorists, and they help people, you know, with their cats, and they would get that question all the time. Now, scratching is important for a cat because it maintains their claws. It doesn't hone the size of the claws as we think, but rather it pulls off the outer layers. And when this older part sloughs off, the healthy new claw is revealed. And so it feels good to them. They need to do it. But you might wonder, why does your cat go to the couch or favorite chair and scratch even when you say no? And why do they prefer that furniture even when they have a brand new scratching post sitting unused? Well, Bill Fleming of the book, The Tiger on Your Couch, decided to try and figure this out. So he started thinking like that wild tiger, that cat. And so he got on the ground and started looking. And this is what he figured out. With that tiger, it's not just a matter of scratching. It's, you know, that feels good. It's actually a thing that they do when they're approaching their territory. And they mark it by spraying and scratching. And scratching marks the territory by leaving his individual scent from the sweat glands of the paw pads. All domestic cats do the same thing. And it doesn't matter what the furniture is as much as where it is that is important. You see, what he discovered is the first thing that a cat does when entering a territory is to go over to the closest piece of furniture and leave his signature with a clause, usually near an entrance or a door. So the nearest piece is often the target for your cat to scratch with his signature. So try this. If you want to use a scratching post, move it out of the corner of the back room and into his first approach territory. You want to determine the traffic area where your cat typically enters the territory, and you got to make sure you've got a good scratching post. You know, maybe talk to someone at a pet store about them. It's got to be strong. You know, you don't want it to wobble, and you really need something tough. You don't want it to feel like furniture upholstery. And so then you place the post near the entrance of the cat's territory. Always praise the cat after he's used the post in the early stages. And after he consistently starts to use it, you can start moving it. Not too soon, though. Slowly move it maybe 6 inches to a new spot a few days at a time. Once he's comfortable with the marking post, then you can put it somewhere else. Try that. See how it works for you. And I'd be interested in hearing. So, you know, you can either write me at wildaboutpets.net, Susan at wildaboutpets.net. You can check my website for that. And let me know what, you know, your experiences with the moving your scratching post to a more prominent position where your cat enters. So here's the next big thing. So far, of course, we've talked about that you can teach your cat no, you know, how to keep its claws in and not to bite you. But I want to talk about why playtime is so important for a cat. A wild cat in play spends a great deal of time practicing his hunting skills. And every cat is born with this instinct to hunt, but his skills need to be developed. They do this in play as youngsters, and in the wild, the cat stays fit through hunting. Now, cats have the reputation for being lazy and not needing regular exercise, and you may just kind of go along with this idea, but this is not the case. Your cat does need activity and mental and physical stimulation. The more they have, the longer, healthier, and purposeful life they will lead. The sad truth is the numbers of cats that are abandoned and then euthanized each year are staggering. One of the primary reasons people abandon their cats is because of behavioral problems. These problems often occur when you have a stressed cat. What do I mean? Why would they be stressed? Boredom and minimal stimulation for your cat can result in high stress levels and also causes many health problems. Excessive pent-up energy, which will also lead to aggressive behavior at times, and you must give your cat a fun reason not to sleep all day. A cat who is active and stimulated at home is interested, active, and healthy. Remember, by relieving boredom for your cat, you are creating a less stressful environment. They all need play for activity, and it is up to you to make sure they get their daily requirements. Kind of like people that own dogs, it's up to you to walk the dog. It's up to you to make sure your cat plays. When you have an indoor cat, it is entirely your responsibility to supply activity. This activity and play is going to have a great effect on your cat's physical and mental well-being. The best way to achieve this activity is through playtime. Playtime lets your cat practice her hunting skills, and this keeps her muscles and heart strong. Now, your playtime routine should differ. It's easy to establish a daily playtime routine that will expend lots of good amounts of cat energy and release stress and monotony. You don't have to talk about, you know, your cat actually hunting the local wildlife to want to utilize those same skills that they use in hunting. It could be a leaf, a fluff ball, socks, you name it. all these can be the object of your cat's mock hunt. It looks playful and amusing to us, but actually the cat is honing his most basic instincts. So here are some points that I want to quickly go over with you. You will also, again, find them in the book, The Tiger on Your Couch, and I'll be making mention of them on my website. So you need a controlled environment. A playing cat is an excited one. It's easy to get out of control. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your cat. It's just their nature. You've got to be aware of this. If not, the cat may all of a sudden be acting on instinct and can't listen to you. Here's how you know if you've got like an overly excited cat. The body stance is usually stiff, the head moves side to side, and the eyes are dilated with a kind of wild look. If you see this, take a time out. Stop all activity until your cat is calm. Praise it for calming down. Walking away. If your cat's really excited and you take a time out, don't try and soothe it with a pat. Just walk away and put distance between you. If you try and pat it, you might get a nasty surprise, a bite or a scratch. Hands are not toys. Here's a mistake I made, and I still do with lots of cats. I think we all make this mistake. Even as a tiny kitten, you never want to let them play with your hands. This is a bad habit and will always turn into a bite in using claws. If you do this sometimes and not other times, you're just giving mixed messages. Always use toys. Toys give the cat the chance to use its teeth and claws, which is what it wants to do. So here's some ideas for some great toys. Anything tied to an end of a string attached to a stick. That way, you know, you can really maneuver that string. Hang the favorite toy from a long elastic or rubber band. Now, of course, if that rubber band or elastic piece breaks, pick it up right away. Don't let the cat eat the rubber band. More cat surgeons, you know, have to go in and remove rubber bands from cats, and that can be fatal. So, of course, you want to make sure all the toys are safe. No loose pieces that could be swallowed or sharp things to cut mouth or paws. An old empty brown bag on the side is a great toy. Ping pong balls. Here's one I hadn't ever tried before. Aluminum foil ball that's very, very tightly balled up. This is shiny and makes noise. Cats love things that make noise. Remember to pick this one up after play. Here's something you might not have known about. Put away the toys when the cat is still interested in them. So kind of stop before the cat is completely bored with what you're doing. It keeps them fascinated for later. Now, cats can get kind of possessive. Let's say you want to stop and put the toy away, and they got those teeth and their claws, you know, into that toy. You can teach the cat a leave it command. You take a short time out, let the cat calm down, and then in a soft tone, repeat leave it until it lets you have the toy, and then praise it. If you do this enough times, it will learn those words, leave it. So, but what about playtime routine? You want to establish your definition of playtime. What that means is, you know, the cat will understand what play means for you. So the excitement does not turn into aggression. You don't have to accept that you've got this crazed cat that seems, you know, barely in control. Start slowly, take many times out, praise each time she settles down. Where to play is a consideration. Once you decide, be consistent. Cats have a hard time understanding that it's okay to play here and now this time, but not the next. Pick an area that is secure and no damage to treasured objects. Here's something that really surprised me. According to the Flemings, never play on or very close to your furniture. The cats can turn unsupervised play into times to scratch or claw that furniture. And it makes total sense. So when I think about playing with my cats or my sister's cats now, I would probably do it in the middle of the living room. So again, you can find all these tips about restricting claws and biting and how important playtime is by referring to the book, The Tiger on Your Couch. You can find the way to order it on my website at the bottom of my page of photographs. I have been talking about the book, The Tiger on Your Couch, What the Big Cats Can Teach You About Living in Harmony with Your House Cat by Bill Fleming and Judy Peterson Fleming. Next week, you will hear the totally unusual story of a baby buffalo that was given a home for a while by two humans. Wait until you see those photos. Remember, all my shows are archived, as well as the Look While You Listen pages. Thank you so much to my producer, Dave Olson. He provided all those great sound effects. And thank you for listening.